build it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Man alive, Jared. Have you taken any sort of a dive into some of these holiday high school basketball tournaments that get going today?
I know,
and tomorrow as
tournament
well.
Tournament champions starts today. I know Bertha Frank Teague tomorrow.
Mustang Holiday Classic is tomorrow.
One, yeah.
No offense to the Tournament of Champions or Bertha, but that Mustang Holiday Classic bracket on the girls' side is fire.
I like it.
I'm talking straight fire.
I like it.
That'd be a good spot to, if you like girls' basketball, and really, 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 really good girls basketball, Mustang may be the place you need to be. I'm talking about 1, 2, 3. I know 3 defending state champions will be there. 2 two-time defending state champions will be there. Whew. We can talk about those brackets. Weatherford coming up today against Crossings Christian. I didn't realize Crossings was 5A all of a sudden. Must have to do with the rest of that. Must have to do with all that stuff.
Yeah.
The new rules.
To keep up.
So I was looking for them, their rankings in 4A. I'm like, where are they at? I know they're ranked. Oh, no, they're 5-0 in 5A. Of course, Dale is there, 2A number one. Edmond North. You know, it's kind of weird because so far 6A and 5A don't have rankings. They haven't been ranked yet, so you kind of got to look for their
that is weird.
Look for their records to get an idea of where they're at. But, yeah, some really good hoop coming up in high school. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. All right, college football. What is your level of interest? How much do you care about the bowl games coming up tonight with Oklahoma State and tomorrow with Oklahoma? And is it higher for the playoff games? You know, it's when it's only been OU so far, but with OU's in the playoffs, it seems like
no. It's kind of like a sneeze. You're waiting for it. Doesn't happen.
Talk amongst yourself.
You good?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to happen again. Anyway, you know, it feels like those years at OU is in the playoff since we've been on the air, we had to work hard at, say, not beating that dead horse for a month, right?
Yeah.
You kind of wait till almost this week to really start breaking it down. Of course, it's always around, you know, the first of the year. I haven't even really thought about talking about the playoffs yet. You know what I mean? What is your interest for tonight's game, tomorrow night's game, and is it even higher for the playoff? And it got me to thinking, you know what? 4-team playoff, it's going away. So what are the few? Let's say I put 3. We can even go to 5. And I put teams. I don't mean like individual year. Like I don't need you to tell me the 2014 TCU Horned Frogs. I mean more of, but I don't mean like historically the program either. I mean for the decade of the 4-team playoff. Mm-hmm. Who were the best handful of teams, of programs, in that 10-year stretch that didn't make the playoff? Mm. Who are the, you know, so like I said, I don't need, I mean like USC. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Like for instance, if Texas wasn't in the playoff, I wouldn't consider Texas one of the best to not make it because this has been a pretty bad stretch of Texas football.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, historically, yeah, they would be right, them, USC, whoever, would be right at the top of the list. What I mean is,
this isn't a question of who are blue bloods and who's not.
That's
it's
right.
It's a question of in this 10-year span.
But it's also just not one-year team. It's not like you can't just say this year's Florida State because they were undefeated.
Right.
I mean, and they've made it. But what I'm saying is, in that decade, who have been the best teams that have not made a four-team playoff? Then also we can talk NBA. Thunder rolled up the West leading Wolves last night. Man, that starting lineup, you look at the stats, and everybody was just awesome, right? I mean, that's exactly what you're looking for as far as a Thunder fan in that tough matchup, or what seemingly is a tough matchup for them with the big guys of Towns and just the size of Minnesota. Thunder were awesome last night.
Did you see A-Rod was there?
I did not. Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I'll show you a picture. A friend of mine who's a big T-Wolves fan drove down from
Missouri
to watch,
last week.
And he sent me a picture. He got himself some good seats.
Is A-Rod part of the ownership?
He is part of the ownership.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
There he is right there.
He sent me a picture, and I wasn't looking at A-Rod.
Ooh. Yeah.
But anywho.
There's a pretty hot blonde there beside him.
That's not the woman in the commercial where he's driving a car to get home to. I don't know who that is. Yeah, but I was like, what? And I told him, it is so funny because there's always some random celebrity that'll show up courtside at Thunder games. And he goes, well, he's part owner of the Timberwolves, so it makes sense why he's there.
The other night, there was some soccer player.
Yeah, I saw
some random soccer player. Like, what in the world is the connection there?
Well, I guess he's friends with SGA. So he was there to see his buddy.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
But... So anyway, Thunder roll. Did you see the reports yesterday? The conversation that sparked up yesterday. You know, we've seen the Lauri Markkanen. We've seen
trade rumors.
The trade, yeah. or just not really even rumor. I wouldn't call this a rumor. Just a, you know, this guy's disgruntled again. Boy, he would fit nicely on the Thunder.
Oh dear. No.
That is it. Would you take Kevin Durant back? And if so, what would you give up for him? Could be worse, Jared. You could be a Pistons fan.
Oh.
Congratulations, Pistons. You broke the all-time losing streak record last night.
Talk about a big tease if you're a Detroit fan, if you watch that game. And they looked okay they went ups and downs and had chances to win the game, and then they just keep
losing.
Poo-pooing down their leg.
Cade had 40.
Poor Cunningham.
Here's my question, though. A lot of times you think, okay, they broke the record now. The pressure's off or what have you. Now you don't want to be the team that stopped it. Because now somebody else is always going to go down alongside this team.
It's going to be that trivia question. Who did the Pistons beat to break this record?
To stop the longest streak.
Yeah.
So this may go on a while, because you'd think, okay, Pistons aren't going to get everybody's best shot. They've lost 27 in a row.
Right, and they're going to rest people, whatever.
But I don't know if that's true. You might see teams
you don't want to be that
not guy. Wanting to be that guy.
Yeah.
So Pistons break that streak. Talk about that. Also, something's happening in the NBA, and it's due to – you can only point to one guy. The Memphis Grizz have been horrible for the first 25 games. The Memphis Grizz have won 4 in a row.
Pew, pew.
Since Ja has been back. How do you feel
They're shooting really well.
How do you feel about Ja Morant not only coming back, but being the catalyst in turning the Memphis Grizzlies around? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Of course, Big Elk TV back a week from yesterday. Paragon TV back on the air tomorrow night with the Merritt Oilerettes against the Bing Lady Pirates down at the Bertha Frank Teague Classic, which we'll talk about at the end of the show. And, of course, if you miss the show entirely, you can find the podcast anywhere where podcasts are. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good.
Okay, so
well.
if you made a list and your wife and kids can't be on this one because that's just too obvious.
Okay.
Okay. If you made a list of people that you would not want to forget to say wish happy birthday on the air, take away wife and kids, where would you? What would be maybe the number one?
That you cannot forget?
That you cannot forget.
The big boss man.
Okay.
Blake.
Okay.
Sorry, Gabe.
Don't know if either one of those would have made my list. But I understand your point. I wasn't thinking of it that way.
I don't know, my dad.
Okay, it said ding, 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 ding. Let's see, that's where. So today, there are two people that share a birthday today that it's like you can't forget to tell them happy birthday. One of those is my lovely mother.
Oh, good.
So same situation we have.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, mother. Or as KJ said this morning, because he couldn't read his text because he didn't have his glasses on yet, flappy birthday, mother.
Flappy birthday. That, oh.
He didn't hit the H. So it is my mother's birthday today. Happy birthday now. Who else would be on that list of people?
Jesus.
Well, we told him happy birthday the other day.
All right.
I mean in your life, Jared.
Jesus is in my life.
That's good. I'm glad that I was hoping that was your answer.
Let's see here. You can't keep in that kids. Yeah, we got my dad cut. I don't know. My sister?
Sisters would be a good one.
Yeah.
And almost even worse, if you forgot to say happy birthday to maybe your sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I've done that.
I know, but that's what I'm going to do right now. Also, it's Aunt Dina's birthday.
We need a calendar here and just write everybody's, like, my grandma had one of those in her kitchen, a big calendar, and the mm-hmm. only thing on it was people's birthdays.
Yes.
Just so good at sending out cards to make sure they got there on their birthday.
Mm-hmm.
We need one of those in here.
Yeah, so Aunt Nina's birthday and Gigi's birthday is the exact same day. So
cool.
Happy birthday to both of those ladies.
I'm glad you mentioned something. I always forget this. I feel so bad. One of my best friends, Trey, his birthday is December 25.
Oh, wow.
It's on Christmas Day. And so this particular birthday, he turned 40, so happy birthday to my guy, Ice Trey, over there in Newcastle, who tunes in every once in a while.
Yeah, very good. All right, last night, Thunder were just awesome. The West leading Wolves in town. Minnesota got the better of Oklahoma City a couple of weeks back up in Minneapolis. I think it was 106-103 that night. Pretty close game in the first half. Oklahoma City led by as many, I think, 11 before halftime, but that lead was trimmed down to 6. And then the second half, man, the Thunder just exploded offensively, and more importantly, I think in the fourth quarter, defensively, as they outscored Minnesota 63-46 to win 129-106. Look in the box score. We talked about this all year long, but even against that team with that massive size advantage, Minnesota only out-rebounded the Thunder 34-29. And if the Thunder can keep that number, that spread, within 10, most nights they're going to have a really, really good chance to win, as they did last night. Look at the box score. Four guys had at least 20 out of the starting lineup. Dorton Holmgren, exactly 20. 21 from Jalen Williams, who weren't sure if he was going to play. He did play, and he played well. And then SGA with 34 on 19 shots, 10 from Giddey in the starting lineup. So the Thunder roll up Minnesota 129-106, improving to 19-9. Second in the West in the loss column. I don't know where the standings actually show them with them in Denver, but if you're just looking at in the loss column, the Thunder would be second out West, just behind those Wolves that they beat last night. It was one of those. It's not a must win or a have to win in December in the NBA, but it's also one of those big-time games against a team that would seem to have matchup advantages over you. And, man, the Thunder were fantastic from the jump last night.
Yeah, it was a step in the right direction when, again, a team that's a competitor a contender. A lot of people have Minnesota that, and so do those same people have the Thunder there too. So that was a good showing, and shows what good defense can turn into good offense, and SGA is just so special. I mean, he's going to be in that MVP conversation if he can continue to score 30 points night in and night out. And then Chet doing what he does. When it all comes together, that's what you get, and that's a team that can beat almost anybody on any given night. So very exciting, very, very well played by the Thunder, and nice to see, too, coming off the the Laker loss and bounce back against a formidable opponent like Minnesota. So good. It's encouraging, and I know it's about to get a lot tougher coming up, and in January is going to be really interesting to see what happens. But I'm getting more and more confident with every win. Every win.
So that brings us to the question that was on the airwaves, and it really kind of bandied about a lot of shows like this yesterday, because over the weekend after Christmas Day, one Kevin Durant expressed his frustrations with what's going on in Phoenix.
Did he? Or I saw he may have disputed that, but when it comes from Woj, you think it's pretty...
Listen,
pretty reliable.
No offense there, Kevin. Now, okay, it may have came from one of Kevin's burners,
uh-huh,
griping about. But listen, you got Woj, who's pretty impeccable with his sourcing and his reporting, versus Kevin Durant, who is a history, especially since he left OKC, of doing this. Okay, let's
right. Yeah.
Let's be honest about, come on, Kevin. And, of course, that leads Thunder fans or media or whatever to go, what would be a good landing spot for him? And this one would certainly work with the timeline of what he's owed versus when the Thunder would need to, kind of start paying their own guys. So what I'm saying is they could absorb his money, at least for the short term, as an older bridge type player to get to when, Williams and Chet and SGA are all making bukus of money, and then, young, those draft picks in the, 25, 26, 27, all of a sudden those become like gold, especially if we can find young players like they are right now that can contribute on very limited salary basis.
Mm-hmm.
What say you as a Thunder fan? Would you take Kevin Durant back?
If it didn't hurt the team. If it didn't hurt the bigger vision,
mortgaging the future.
Exactly. If it didn't hurt the franchise and their vision and what they're planning out here, what Sam's vision has been since Durant left, how to rebuild this, how to keep the ship afloat, how a tanking process works, if it didn't hurt that entire process of getting back to contention, maybe. Maybe. It would play a cool story to see that full circle come around. I've seen the comparisons to when LeBron went back to Cleveland and won a title and everybody's singing Kumbaya. So it would definitely be a cool story. And if he did that, if he came back and won a title, that'd answer our statue question right there.
Oh, well, yeah.
But it's a big maybe for me. Sam would be good enough, if there was mutual interest there, he'd be good enough to go, listen, just do what I just said. Like, I'm not selling the farm to get you back, Kevin. I'm not doing it. So you gotta work with me here. But does he fit? But here's another question. Does he fit into what the Thunder's doing now? Does
Hell
that make
yes.
sense?
He fit. Well, first off,
does he fit?
He fits on any basketball team ever created.
Okay, so just for the sake of argument, then why isn't it working in Phoenix? Why is he frustrated?
Because for one, it takes so much to get him that Phoenix didn't have. They mortgaged the future, even mortgaged the present, in order to put those three guys together. Okay, and then also, they're not playing together.
Right. No. Have they?
He's playing.
Yeah.
Then it seems like either Beal or Booker has been out basically from the jump. And this is just also the way Kevin Durant goes as far as being moody and all that kind of thing. And that's the one caveat of it is, do you bring in an older, what is he, 34 now, I think?
That's the thing.
An older guy that's, to teach these younger guys quote unquote bad habits. And not I'm not talking about basketball bad habits. I'm talking about trying to run the front office bad habits. Because to this point, I don't think you can even have a peep of a negative word about anything SGA related, right? I mean, he's been a model citizen, much less model superstar. You know, there just haven't been any of those bumps, right? Nothing. There has been zero.
Right.
Of him wanting to run the team. All you hear is, man, this is great. We love each other. We're brothers.
Yeah.
What you want to hear, obviously.
Now, listen, this is, I think, and I'm not discrediting SGA as a person, but I think that's a big this is a big result, him like this, is because of this is the standard that this franchise is. Kevin Durant was like that, too, when he was here, up until that fateful day in July.
See, I think it's the other way around.
You think he's genuinely...
I think Sam Presti targets...
Guys like this?
That guy, uh-huh. Guys with those types of traits.
Right.
100%, I think that's targeted. Not in the draft, in any kind of pickups, whatever that is.
Well, you know, there's always a process, you know, that you hear about that thunder toughness and mentality and everything. And there's a process when players come in that they're taken down to the Oklahoma City Bombing Memorial to get, you know, to see the history of the city and stuff like that. And I think that kind of is obviously it's a humbling experience. If you haven't been there, I suggest it. But, well, I wonder too, you know, and every franchise has its own identity and its own way of doing things. And I just question if, you know, because Kevin Durant, you know, he had a backpack with the Bible in it and he said all the right things at the podium and he was a great role model. And then boom, he left. And then there's, you know, some skeletons started to come out of his closet. Some of the real stuff, the burner accounts and all this stuff, which I wondered if that was just part of him growing up, part of that pent up emotion that he was always kind of really good at keeping held at bay, and he didn't really have an outlet for it, and then it all kind of came out when all that went down. But, no, I agree too, though. I think Sam targets guys that have good character, 100%. Hard to see Sam Presti getting a guy like Ja Morant on her team because he just doesn't fit that criteria. Great player, but horrible person off the court.
All right, so Durant, this year and two more. At 47, 51, and 55, or 50, yeah, 55 million. Which timeline-wise kind of lines up. What I'm saying is it lines up with the Chets and the J-Wills, or the J-Dubs, as he would go away, or his money would go away, theirs would come, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it makes sense from that aspect of it, of he would be, and he's 35. Not 34. But, I mean, let's be honest. He's playing at an all-NBA level still. See, on the text line, if you want to destroy what we have going, bring him back. I want to know why. Why would he destroy that? Is it just his attitude? Because as a basketball player, I don't see any way that destroys. Because of all the people, of all the superstars in this time, in this era, he's the one that needs the ball in his hand the least. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. If you look at him and Steph, that's why they work so well together. And even Clay. They could just run around. Draymond can have the ball at the free throw line, whichever one's open, throw it to him. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
His game is so like Swiss Army knife to me that he fits, like I said, any basketball team in the history of the NBA, Kevin Durant would fit on because of his skill set.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's where, I mean, if it's an attitude, or is it still. Listen, I get it. For a bunch of people in this state, a bunch of people listening to us right now, one of the most traumatic, awful sports experiences they ever had was that July 4th when Kevin Durant shunned the great people of the great state of Oklahoma to go to, at that point, their arch nemesis that had just beaten them after being behind 3-1, after being ahead 3-1 in that series. I get it, and the sports trauma, not real life trauma, but the sports trauma that can cause, and I would bet there would be a bunch of people that would have that reaction. Absolutely not, because of that, and not really anything that it has to do with this team, or maybe there is. I don't know. I just think it's a fascinating discussion.
I always equate it
because
to
the LeBron thing to me, that's a great comparison.
The
LeBron going back to Cleveland with the Durant, what he would be coming back to Oklahoma City. I think that's a great comparison. It's a longer time frame in between, than it was for LeBron. But the vitriol that we saw the night of the decisions when he's taken his talents to South Beach, guess what? Those people got over it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And yep. And to win a title, yeah, that's it would seem full circle for Durant the way it seemed when LeBron did it.
Well, the final thought on the fan reaction, it, you know me, I always compare it to relationships and you know girls and stuff, and it'd be like the hot girl that dumped you. Like, I'm done with her. I'm done with her. But who are you kidding? If she called you the next day, you're taking her back. Or even a few years later, you go, oh, yeah, I'd answer that phone call. So, yeah, you can say you don't want them back, but you're not crying if that actually happened.
You're not.
You're probably secretly, hey, you know what? I forgave him a long time ago.
Yeah.
Sure you did. Okay.
You know, as soon as I burnt his jersey, that released all of my frustrations back in 2016. But I think it's fascinating argument or a conversation, not really an argument, just conversation.
Of
how where Thunder fan is, because, like I said, I don't. It doesn't seem to me, at least, like the love and the attention that those Thunder teams got back then is happening with this one. And maybe people still think they're tank. You know what I'm saying? Like, they haven't really been in the playoffs yet. Sure, the play-in a year ago, but we haven't seen them on that national stage over and over and over and over like we did with those teams.
And there's in some
and there's also there's, part of it where there's a little new, piece of your heart that goes away.
Well, yeah, and there's new fans too. There's this, you know, fans come and go. There's like almost like a new generation of fans. You know, now there are kids that didn't really experience that winning.
Yeah.
That, you know, they were maybe little kids when that was happening, had no idea what was going on. Now they're, when you know, they're up. Or like my kid, for example, Katie, she's 10. She had no clue what winning was.
Now, see, I'm not talking about them.
No,
I'm talking about the grandmas that were on Facebook every night loving the Thunder. They're still with us that you don't see from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That group isn't back, or it isn't as fandom.
Well, I think now, and for me personally, it's like, okay, now I know how the other side lived. Now I know how it was on, you know? So it's like this winning is nice, but we know what losing's like too. And, you know, we're not throwing parades for wins over Minnesota on December 26th, like some of those Facebook fans would do.
Because really and truly, the only horrible season we got to see was the first one, and nobody cared because it was the first one.
It was the NBA in Oklahoma City.
That's right.
In Oklahoma, yeah.
And after what, like 2-23 or 2-something like that start? Then all of a sudden, all those young guys started playing pretty well together. And so by the time the end of the first season, a 20-something win season, even by the end of that one, you're going, uh-oh, these guys could be pretty good.
Yeah, and that's all you heard, too. They're so young, they're just going to get better. Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, the next year, boom, there they were.
Yep.
Taking the eventual champs.
To the wire.
Right down to the wire in a game 6. We're almost forcing a game 7. So it's I think the playoffs need to happen before we see the whole love maybe come back.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the
guy. It's just Durant comes back.
Yeah. I'm just more interested. I think the guy from Utah, I can't say his name.
Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, I think he'd help us more than Durant.
Thank you. That could be a mortgage your future type guy. I think our buddy is one of the, he's not, he doesn't want Durant. There's no doubt about it.
Nah.
Do it without him. See, now I know, I get that. I totally get that aspect of it. You know, that was then,
yeah,
this is now,
good,
it's a new.
They're good now.
Right.
They're good right now without him.
Okay,
why even consider it?
So if that is the case, then why is everybody trying to figure out a way to move guys? We don't even know what this team looks like in the playoffs.
Yeah.
How do we not know? Because there's one obvious guy that everybody wanted to trade even before the stuff off the court blew up on Thanksgiving, and that's Giddey.
Mm, yeah.
It seems like Giddey is the odd man out. Giddey is the Jeff Lebby whipping boy Or the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
OU offensive coordinator is always the whipping boy.
The sacrificial lamb.
That's right. Yeah. And now Giddey is that guy. How do we know Josh Giddey's skill set won't translate to the playoffs better than anybody on the team? We don't, because we've never seen it. So if listen, there's no chance in the world, really, that Durant's coming back, right?
Nah,
I mean, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I would rather see this. Let's see what these guys can do before we start shipping them off. Would be me.
Yeah.
But if you also told me you could give up Giddey and like two of the more recent or the not way in the future first rounders for Kevin Durant, boy howdy, I'm afraid I'd jump on that bandwagon and do it all day long. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk a little college football. What's your level of intrigue? What's your level of care about the bowl games the next two nights with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma?
Well, with the caveat being I'm an OU fan. So it is an in-state team, so I will tune in to Oklahoma State. How interested I'll be will, I don't know, to almost 50%. Just, you know, because Oklahoma State looks like they're primed to have a really good night tonight. With the, you know, you hear about a lot of, you know, the question always is now is who's playing.
Right.
Who opted out? Who's in the portal? Who's gone? Who are the big names that aren't there? And there's not a lot of them for Oklahoma State. They're all there. On the other hand, A&M, you don't even know who their coach. I think Barry Trammell said that. You don't even know who their coach is going to be tonight. I'm not sure even the interim coach has left or
is going
to leave.
Tends
to.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation at A&M. Always is, right? So I will tune in to see, is this going to be an Oklahoma State team? You're going to get this is what bowl games are about, outside of the meaningful, the big ones. This is kind of how Florida State treated the Cheez-It Bowl last year. They went into it thinking, this is going to springboard us into a great season next year. And it did, really. I mean, they had a great season. So Oklahoma State, with a lot of pieces coming back, I'm going to tune in to see, can they rebound from that Big 12 championship travesty, springboard in the next year and be Big 12 contenders, which they have a very big opportunity to do. So I let me change my answer. I'll be about 75% interested in tonight's game.
I would be almost, because of that, it feels like some of these Big 12 teams, the holdover Big 12 teams, are the ones that are bringing tons back, that with the 12-team playoff next year, really have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Oklahoma State, and I would be even more intrigued if it was like, if we're going to get to see like Zane Flores. Or if, I guess, if you knew Bowman was getting his 10th year or 7th year or whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
But even then, it's just kind of like, I think – the fact that they're bringing a lot of guys back is great, and for that reason, like, man, this could be one of those teams that.
Well, Kansas that like that too.
Kansas,
they bring,
but
they're
but
bring
guess
back
what? Kansas bringing back Jalen Daniels, who we didn't really get to see much of this year, but we've seen enough of to be like excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Are we excited about Alan Bowman again? Eh, not really.
But there's continuity there, and there is
it probably helps the cause. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it just. A lot of times these bowl games, especially like this, it's either a Florida State scenario of last year, like, okay, we lost a couple here and there, we shouldn't have, we got everybody coming back. And by that time, like Jared Verse even, you knew he's going to be a first-round pick at defensive end. He's coming back. Oh, my gosh, we're loaded for bear. Let's kind of send this one out the right way to get rolling toward the next year.
Momentum.
Even though,
get that momentum.
Well, and even though there's 8 months before you do anything and – summertime and getting people kicked off the, you know, all that happens, but it does give you excitement going into spring ball for sure. And I think that's where Oklahoma State is at.
The problem though is the opponent. They can go out there and whip them up, and then people are going to say, well, that was up.
Yeah.
Who
knows what you're going to get from A&M? That may, honestly.
A&M has 19 players. That's
I think that's the more intriguing part of this game to me than anything. Is what does A&M look like?
Yeah.
Who do they have? You know, that's the part to me that's like, okay, what do we get from A&M? I mean,
they've been decimated. Obviously, with the firing of Fisher, players leaving, all that stuff. They've been decimated. So, yeah, you don't know what kind of team you're going to get.
And maybe you get, you know, they've played about four quarterbacks due to injury this year. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, A&M is a complete mystery. But I think that, you know what the matchup predictor is on ESPN Analytics?
Is it like 50-50?
No.
Are they favoring A&M?
71.8% A&M, 28.2%. This must have been ran before. They must not know who all A&M doesn't have playing.
Well, that's another problem, right? No one knows. Nobody, even the computers in the analytics.
Yeah, I can't believe
you
that
can't,
that's current.
Yeah. Because when you look at reconfigure that about 10 minutes before kickoff.
The line went from A&M minus 4.5 opening to Oklahoma State minus 3. So that's a touchdown change.
Yeah.
On that line. That can't be. That has to be ran as soon as the matchup was created, and now here we are a month later. They haven't redone that. So, but Oklahoma State is, as much as it's a long time till next August and the fall camp's opening, everything, though, has kind of smiled upon Oklahoma State since, week four in the loss up at Iowa State. And the portal decimated them this time last year. Hasn't done anything really to Oklahoma State. Man, they do. They seem like one of those handful of teams going into the new Big 12 that's going to – I mean, I think next year in the 12-team playoff predictions going into the season, I think you're going to see a bunch of people picking Oklahoma State because the Big 12 is going to have a spot and there's going to be people that think Oklahoma State can win the Big 12.
Well, that – kind of was my next question. Do you think with the lack of players leaving programs like Big 12 programs like Oklahoma State,
Kansas,
I don't know about Iowa State, but you got to think they'll bounce back. Do you think that's because they're more convinced? Say, listen, the OU and Texas aren't going to run this show anymore. We got an opportunity to be the next big dog here. So if you stay here, we keep this going, we can elevate ourselves and then get ourselves into the playoff.
Maybe, or maybe that's, you know, we got that promo running from signing day about what's Mike Gundy, is it just that's all he can get? Or maybe that's his target. He's targeting guys that have that sense of whatever,
mm-hmm.
commitment to that program.
Yeah.
And even if they feel like they can turn those guys into players good enough to make teams good enough to end up at the top of the Big 12 and making it into that 12-team playoff. I think for Oklahoma it's simple. Jackson Arnold, right? Everybody can't wait to see him.
Yeah.
And so that's the huge part of it. I don't know that if he goes out and lays an egg, anyone should jump off the cliff. I don't know if he goes out and looks like a Heisman Trophy winner, anyone should start making hotel reservations for Atlanta in the SEC title game next year.
What's exciting is for that game, for the Alamo Bowl, is Oklahoma's getting an opponent that's not decimated. It's like the complete opposite of what Oklahoma State is getting.
Right, yeah. If Oklahoma State was getting the A&M we saw all year, I think there'd be a lot more excitement about this
game. They're getting an Arizona team that is rolling, a lot of momentum. They want to continue that, so there's a lot of motivation to play in this bowl game. So there's actually – this is a bowl game that you're going to get an opponent. You know, you watch some bowl games and you think, well, is there any motivation here? Does anybody care? Is anybody out there playing care? There's barely any fans in the stand. This is a dud. But this one, you're going to get a motivated opponent and a quality opponent that Jackson Arnold – we'll see what Jackson Arnold can do.
Yeah, that's the big – to me, that's the biggest difference. I think if it was like Bowman entering the draft and one of those young guys, whether it be Rangel or especially Flores, since you haven't seen him, I think that lifts the excitement level or the intrigue higher and higher.
And Arizona, they would love nothing more to say, hey, Big 12, look at us. We're coming into this conference, and we just beat one of your perennial badasses that's leaving. So,
and even though it doesn't matter, I mean, like I said, all this is going to create some excitement, and then by the time we get to next August, it's all gone. Nothing carries over that long. It just doesn't, because then you got to continue to do what you have to do in the winter conditioning and the spring ball and get out of spring without people getting hurt that are going to be vital to the cause. I mean, there's so much between now and then that it's hard to even extrapolate it to next year, but we're all going to do it as soon as we see the results of the game.
I'm not excited about the game times.
Yeah, I know. I wish it was in the afternoon.
Like, what is tonight? 8 o'clock?
Yeah, 8 o'clock and 8:15.
8:15 tomorrow? Not excited about that. But that's just my age talking.
What is your what's your excitement level for the playoff itself?
I'm not terribly excited that Texas is in it, because we keep hearing about from their fans. But it's intriguing. You can almost flip. I can't get a pulse on who has advantage in either game. You know, Alabama or Michigan or Washington or Texas. So I would say, you know, maybe 65-70% excited or interested.
It does seem like
excited is too big of a word to use for me, but interested, yeah.
This is one of those when you think back through the years of the playoff, it felt like one side was the national title game and the other side was kind of the JV game.
Yeah.
Or a mismatch of some sort.
You always say whoever wins that game is going
to
go win.
That's right. Or these two teams are no fun to watch. You know, and it just kind of it doesn't seem like that this year. And I think the lines
I think there's a case
the
for
lines
all
on
four
the games
teams here.
Show that as well.
Yeah.
There's not a clear favorite. There's also not a clear somebody had to be fourth.
Right.
You know, like think back in 2019 with OU and Jalen Hurts. Well, somebody had to be fourth. And then face that juggernaut that was LSU, right? I mean, that was whoever played in that game was going to get destroyed. And it just so happened that the Sooners won enough games to be that team instead of Utah or whoever it was.
Oh, my goodness. You know what I just thought of?
What?
We got to thank the committee for this. Because what if they put
people
in
would be
Florida
thinking
State?
That with Florida State?
What
There's
if they
no
put
doubt.
In Florida State just to watch them get
That's what
shellacked,
the conversation
right? Yeah.
would be. Oh, my gosh, Michigan's going to kill Florida State. You can just hear it, whether or not it would happen or not.
My answer to the interested, excited question would have been a little bit lower.
Yeah. All of a sudden, people can't wait to watch Texas and Washington.
Yeah.
okay, it is the end of the four-team playoff. So what do you, in your mind, give me the top three, the best three teams – to not make the playoff. And like I explained at the first of the show, I don't mean an individual team like this year's Florida State.
Yeah,
I also don't mean 80 years of tradition. I mean in the 10 years that the playoff has existed, which three programs in that span of time have been the best yet didn't make the playoff?
I'll go 3-2-1. So I'll say I wrote it down here. Baylor at three. Ole Miss, man, I feel like if they were not in the SEC, they would have a couple or maybe more playoff appearances. But I'll put them at two. I mean, they're just at the mercy of Georgia or Alabama, right? Unfortunately. I think number one team that's never made the playoffs that wins games, but it's one of those teams we don't trust, is Penn State, though. Penn State wins a lot of games. They're kind of like in the same boat with Ole Miss, but they have to contend with Ohio State and or Michigan. That usually bumps them out. But outside of playoffs, I mean, that in this playoff era, they've won a lot of games. How about you? I got some honorable mentions, too, but how about you?
Okay, so... Penn State, I thought about them. I mean, I'm still trying. You left out who I think is number one, which is crazy. And the I don't know. Penn State was one I was thinking about. They've won a division title in the Big 12 or in the Big 10 twice, but only once. And they actually won the conference in 2016, and yet didn't make the playoff. I thought about Baylor and I thought about TCU as well.
TCU made the playoff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did. Never mind. I can't say TCU. Big 12 teams.
I almost did an order of conferences.
SEC. Like, I was trying to think of an SEC team that's been. So, okay, I'm going to settle on. I think I'll say Penn State number three. No, I'm going to put the number two. I'm going to put OSU number three.
See, they're right outside there.
I'm going to put Oklahoma State number three because they were, in the years that there wasn't a Big 12 title game. They weren't, I don't know that they were necessarily in playoff contention, but they were darn sure chances to win the conference. So in 15, Oklahoma beat them on their home field for the conference title. 16 OU won at home for the conference title. 17 was that crazy team with all the offense and little defense. And then they played for the Big 12 title two out of the last 3 years and possibly a spot in the playoff in 2021 if they win that by, you know, a half a yard from seeing what happened against Baylor. So I'd put OSU number three. I guess Penn State number two. I don't know. I think that's – it feels like that's more name in my mind than substance. But we're also talking about teams that haven't gotten there. And then to me, number one far and away is Utah.
Utah, yeah, I forgot about Utah.
With the conference titles they've won in the Pac-12, moving into that conference, a little slow early, but now it seems like they're every bit the year in, year out, one of the best couple in the Pac-12, now going to the Big 12. So I would go with Utah. With a tip of the hat to Baylor. You know, they were just kind of they were super high to super low to super high. You know what I mean? They weren't maybe as consistent as those others that I mentioned.
I found this list of playoff teams followed by the list of teams that who are ranked the most. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In the top 25, but not making the final four.
Okay.
And Penn State was on top of that list. Yeah. So I really leaned on that. And it was followed by like Florida and Wisconsin, Baylor, Ole Miss, Southern Cal, Oklahoma State. Some familiar names. Central Florida, UCF, yeah, Auburn.
We got UCF on the text line.
For some reason, I thought Auburn was snuck in there, but they won the last BCS right. title game, right? Against
they lost.
They
the
lost
last.
It. No.
Kick six, they lost to Florida State and Jameis.
Oh, that was the kick six year.
Yes, in 2013.
I was thinking of the Oregon game when they won it.
That was 2010.
That was 2010.
Yep.
Yeah. So, there you go. But the thing is, Utah was kind of at the bottom.
Yeah.
As not being ranked very much, you know what I mean?
Well, Utah, like I said, going into the Pac-12 early, it was a little bit of a struggle in those 10 years.
When they got there, yeah.
You know, the last five, they've been right up toward the top, if not winning the Pac-12. Some other names we got on the text line, Florida was one of them. Tennessee, Kansas State, A&M, UCF. You know one that I'm surprised nobody mentioned, and we haven't either? Hmm. Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's actually up there up in this
Are one. They on that list? I said that's
they
one
were
that,
actually – let me go back up there.
You know, they were the team that – they played for the Big Ten title the first year, and a lot of people think a big part of why Ohio State jumped. Baylor and TCU, one, the Big 12 couldn't decide who the champion was for the whole year, and two, they just shellacked Wisconsin.
Yeah, it went Penn State, Florida, Wisconsin, yeah. So basically, they were the third best team not to make
the third,
the third
most, ranked.
Most ranked team not to make the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you started making a list of the best individual team, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I think that would be pretty interesting. Team, but the best individual teams that were left out. You know, that
right.
2014 TCU, you know, they could have made, I'm not saying that didn't make it, just 2014 TCU would be way up there on that list for me because, you know, they lost that shootout to Baylor, a game they were way ahead in and kind of blew it. Then they bounced back and they just hammered Ole Miss in the bowl game to kind of make that statement of, you left us out, really? You know, that team was really good.
Yes, it was.
And I'm sure any time Bama didn't make it, it's probably a chance that they were the best team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because of the way they were. But that one, and maybe how public it was and how it was the first year, but that one sticks out to me big time of, golly, that 2014 TCU. And we saw it so much right here. But that team was really, really good. Any others that you kind of think about like that? in that vein of, man, I wish we could have seen that team play in the playoff.
Team that, man, I'm trying to think. I'm trying. Maybe one of those Central Florida teams. Right. Maybe one of those that had, you know, the argument of being undefeated and you know, they were trying to break that barrier that Cincinnati eventually did. I'd really have to dig deep and look into it.
Yeah, maybe we can do that here.
It's hard to, you know, we have to do that, yeah, come like on Friday or something. It's hard to think of it. Every time I think of a team, like, oh, well, they actually made the playoff.
No, but that's okay if they did in this next question. You know, TCU made it, but that one team in 2014, I'd have loved to have seen them play. Yeah, it could be teams that made it.
And another question is, what final do we wish we would have got, but we didn't? You know, like Oklahoma, Alabama, the
Oh, 1,000,000% in 2017, because right. I think OU would have won.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it would have been just as fun as that Georgia, as the Rose Bowl. I think it would have been really fun.
That's the one thing we never got to see. And this even goes back to the Kevin Wilson days. So we never got to see somebody have to, in a big game, in a bowl game, in a national title setting, have to prepare for those OU offenses in a week and not a month.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fun. Best team not to make the playoff. Individual year, go back through and kind of talk about that. And then what was the other one you said right as you were talking? Spitball. I was going to write it down. I should have.
Championship game we wish we would have got.
There you go. There you go. Championship game you wish you could have seen.
I would rather have seen Georgia and Michigan last year.
As it turned out.
After it turned out. That's – about halfway through the first quarter, I thought, boy, I think I would have rather seen Michigan in this spot.
Well,
this is boring.
At that point, you'd have rather seen anybody but what was happening.
Yeah.
In that spot, for sure. All right, man, there's some huge, big-time high school hoops going on across the state of Oklahoma. From the BOK down to, what's that called at Ada? You remember?
Bertha Frank Teague?
No, the gym.
Ada? No, I cannot remember. It's on ECU's Kerr. Campus. The Kerr Center.
The Kerr Center or something like that.
Yeah.
The Kerr Center then to Mustang High School, which has one of the finest gyms there is, if you've never been there.
Yeah, I've been there.
It's a sweet one.
Kerr Activity Center.
Kerr Activity Center. That's it.
Or the Kerr Dome.
The Kerr Dome.
As they call it.
Starts today up at Tulsa with the Tournament of Champions. Boys and girls. It may have already tipped off. It may have been a 9 o'clock start. Or that may be Mustang tomorrow. Anywho. Give you an idea. I know Weatherford plays at, 1:30 this afternoon, I believe, against Crossings Christian. So on the boys' side, the boys' side of the Tournament of Champions, you've got 1, 2, 3, probably what would be 4 at a minimum number one teams in their classification. Edmund North, 6A, 5-0, that probably would be number one if there was rankings right now. They play OK. We got to see them last year in the finals. OK is number one, even though they were the runner-up. So they play Weatherford and Crossings Christian. Crossings 5-0 in 5A. So you wonder kind of where that would put them in some rankings. And then you got Dale, 2A, number one. You know, people are finally realizing how good they are, even though they're 2A. Against Tulsa Hill and Owosso and Metro Christian. Metro's 3A, number 5. Girls' side, Edmund Memorial 6A. They're 5-1. They play number 4A, number 8, Verdigris. Yeah, Riverside 2A, number 3, against Sepulpa, who is in 5A. They're 5-2. Tahlequah 7-0 in 5A. They play Lincoln Christian, who is 4A, number 2. And Kiefer 2A, number 19, against 6-1, 5A, Booker T. Washington. Then the Bertha Frank Teague with Merritt tomorrow night, 2A number 7 against Bing, who's 5-4 in 4A. Bethel 3A number 7 against Carl Albert. Carl Albert's 6-1 in 5A, so they'd be ranked somewhere in the top, 5 probably. Mm-hmm. McAllister's 5-2 in 5A. They play Kingfisher, who is 4A number 11. They've struggled a little bit to start. And then Washington 3A number 1 against Hartshorne, 2A number 10. Mustang is the one. The girls' bracket Mustang seems like the most fire. Bethany is 4A number one, defending state champion, against PC North, who is 6A. They're 7-1 in 6A so far. Two-time defending champion Edmond North, 5-0 this year. They're in 6A as well, but would have to be number one. Against Okemah, that's 2A number six. Broken Arrow is 4-3 in 6A. They play two-time defending Class A state champion Sealing. Then you get Mustang and Klassen SAS. That's a... If you could figure out a way to get Bethany Edmond North tomorrow, or I guess Friday, in the semifinals, and say the winner of that against Sealing, that would be pretty awesome. Just to see what the results would be. It's good stuff. Good stuff all around. Is there any certain... I mean, I think Weatherford Edmond North could be a semifinal. And the boys' side of the Tournament of Champions, whoever wins that against Dale would be fun. I'm kind of excited to see Weatherford challenged because I think they are phenomenal.
Yeah, and they...
And I don't know how much they get on a nightly basis.
Right, and I bet you they want to be challenged. Or their coaches want them to be challenged, right? Just they need to see adversity. And this is a definitely place to get it. But also, on the other hand, I want to see how they fare. And if they come out looking really, really good, I mean, fly that Western Oklahoma flag, Weatherford. I'll be on board with that.
Text line, is Hammond girls playing in any of these tournaments? No.
No.
Not this year.
No. Warrior Classic is next week. Now, next week is cool because there's all those tournaments happening. It's like tournament time. There's the Merritt Classic, the Warrior Classic, I think Hinton's tournament. I know I'm thinking, Sealing, do they host their tournament?
There's that, the Oil Center in Woodward.
The Oil Center's up in Woodward.
Arapaho.
The Western Equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Weatherford had their tournament. I wonder if they're having it, but the boys aren't in it. You hard to imagine them not in their own tournament. And hard to imagine to go quick turnaround on tournaments. Anyways, I just know there's a lot of tournaments happening. I've always wanted to take a day, like on a Thursday, and do a tournament tour and just try all their food and rate them.
Yeah, I wonder if they're still having that tournament. They always have.
Maybe I could look it up. But a lot of basketball is about to tip off. There's really, really good tournaments you just mentioned. And then next week, that kind of continues. There's a lot. And it potentially can give us some really good matchups.
Oh, yeah. Hammond, really, LaMega. LaMega's been coming down to the Warrior Classic.
You know, I know Hooker has been producing some good girls teams lately. Traditionally, they have. I know they'll come down to the Merritt tournament. I know Fort Cobb is over there at the Hinton tournament. Mm-hmm. And you get what I like, too.
Yeah, that was last year. Remember last year, I don't think Newcastle's there again, but last year that was the boys' game you couldn't wait to see. It was Newcastle and Fort Cobb, and sure enough, it was in the finals, and it was a really good game.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get at is you get these, you know, these sometimes 4A teams taking on those Class A or B, and in this case, like today, I mean, you got it. Or even the potential of a 6A team, which say Edmond North or PC North, which one did you say?
Edmond North
and Weatherford out of 4A.
Yeah, and one we know we get a couple of those types of matchups on the boys' side at Mustang, Carl Albert versus Caddo. Everybody, we watched Caddo win the state title a year ago with most back. Most of that team is back. And then Sealing plays Del City.
The Weatherford Classic is happening, and the boys will be in it. So
okay.
The Weatherford boys will play a lot of basketball these next couple of weeks.
Can't remember, did they not go to Woodward?
Who's that?
The Weatherford boys. Woodward had a tournament.
Yes.
They went, though, I think, and won.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Then that means they're not going to play the third week.
No.
Wherever the tournament is, they won't play. Wherever the girls are going, they won't go.
Let me see if I can find that out. Kingfisher tournament.
Oh, yeah. The buckle of the wheat belt.
Yeah.
Ooh, tough break for them. It's a lot of times on Thursday. You want to talk about an awesome spot to be when it came to the hospitality room. It got hard to be much better than the buckle of the wheat belt at Kingfisher
Oh, I'm sure they'll still
when their friends from Okarchi would bring that chicken up.
I'm sure they'll still be there.
Yeah, they will. I won't. I used to be.
I know.
Not anymore. Wonder what Washington's got to offer. I bet you they got some good teams.
I bet you they got. Oh yeah.
I bet that field is strong. I know the girls are number one in 3A.
And they got a great facility too.
Yes, they do. It gets loud in there, man.
Does it?
Yes, it does. But for us, for our purposes, it is as easy as it gets. I don't even think there's stairs. Is there even stairs to that thing? Because everything's down below.
Everything I've seen is on film or picture.
Oh, you've never been there?
I've never actually been there, but everything I've seen, it looks
I don't even
really
remember
nice.
If you have to go upstairs just to get to the front doors. I know once you get in,
you're on the top.
You're on the top and everything's down. Pioneer Center-ish.
Kind of. You still kind of have to go upstairs Pioneer, don't you?
Yeah, that's the difference. But, well, you can ride the elevator.
Yeah. No, that's – I like that design. I like that design.
All right.
Well, Weatherford's like that. You walk in, you're at the top. You're in the mid-level.
Yeah, there's still to go if you go where I go now.
Yeah.
Up or down.
Right. Very good. A lot of basketball. And
lots
and
of
I'm happy there's some today with the Weatherford games today.
It's interesting. Interesting
yeah.
hoops.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, have a great Wednesday. Oklahoma State tonight. We'll rehash what happens for the Pokes. Look forward to the Sooners. And then probably start talking playoffs.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.